several weeks ago, Jeremy and Justine Sherwood reached out to us here at the chapel, having newly moved to Lac La Biche from Prince Albert. They work with the Northern Canada Evangelical Mission, yes. And that might be new to some of us here. For others, you're more familiar with it from years past. But we're glad to invite them to come. And this is an opportunity for us to get to know them get to know us, and that we're praying for God's will and direction in establishing relationship and understanding and partnership together. So welcome, Jeremy and Justine. We're glad to have you come up here, brother. And he's going to come and share about their mission from God's word as well. And they're new to everybody here this morning, but we're glad that you can come. God bless you, man.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us here. So my name is Jeremy Sherwood, and with me today is my wife, Justine, and our four children. Justine has the baby, Lydia. She's 3 months old. And the other three, I think, are in Sunday school. I trust they're still here in good hands. We have Amaris. She's 7 years old. Ezra is 5. And Mercy is 2. I grew up mostly in Alberta in a devoted Christian family, and I gave my life to the Lord at a young age. Justine grew up in Saskatchewan in a non-Christian family, and she came to the Lord through Bible camp ministry. The two of us met while studying at Nipawin Bible College in Nipawin, Saskatchewan. It was pretty much love at first sight for me. And Justine got there eventually. I have this timed pretty exactly for the half hour, so there's no time to laugh at my jokes. We married after our graduation. There were indications that we were unlikely to have children, but God has blessed us with 4 of them, so we're not really concerned with that diagnosis. We are with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. What's that, you ask? Well, NCEM is an interdenominational ministry seeking to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ among and in partnership with the Aboriginal peoples of Canada. Our vision is by faith to establish strong Indigenous multiplying churches. So toward that end, we have field missionaries, the people who are out in the communities, First Nations communities, doing things like Bible studies, kids clubs, prison ministries, church services, all those sorts of things. And we have people from coast to coast to coast. We also have an aviation department, a couple of airplanes and pilots, which is a tool for missionaries to make trips out to remote northern communities. We have a handful of Bible camps, where the focus is on intensive ministry to children and youth in the summer weeks and months. What I would consider the flagship ministry of NCEM, certainly the one that is most widely known, is Tribal Trails, a TV program that has been on the air for over 40 years now. Tribal Trails is a simple program that consists of testimonies from Indigenous believers, gospel music, and the clear presentation of the Word of God. Tribal Trails programs also go out over radio in many communities. And just in the last couple of years, some younger missionaries in the mission have started a new, sort of a new initiative, kind of under Tribal Trails. They're calling Generation Hope. Which is putting videos, shorter format, on social media, aiming at younger generations. And Tribal Trails programs also go out over radio in many communities. Another ministry is through printed material. We have an in-house print shop in Prince Albert where we can print some books and brochures and tracts and so on. And we have an online bookstore to distribute those materials as well as books and resources from other places, tribaltrailsbooks.com. And of course, there is the administrative segment of the organization, NCM headquarters, which keeps all the other ministries going. Our area of ministry is in Lac-La-Biche, Alberta, serving at Keewatin Discipleship Center. What is Keewatin Discipleship Center? Well, right now it's mostly an idea. The vision of a Bible school for First Nations students. We hope that it will be a place where Indigenous believers can come and be part of a community where they belong, living and learning together, being discipled through the teaching of the Word of God. And we hope that they will go out from KDC being rooted, strengthened, and built up in the faith. We want infants in Christ to grow into maturity, the simple to gain understanding, the weak in faith to be made strong, the disconnected to find their place in the body of Christ. And we see those goals being accomplished through the teaching of God's Word, the Bible, in the context of a loving community and a program that is specifically suited to Indigenous believers. A place that used to fulfill a similar role, a Bible school for Indigenous students, was Keewatin Bible Institute, a ministry of NCEM. I believe it started sometime in the 70s and did a lot of good for a lot of people in its time, but it closed back in 2013. So that's about 12 years now that there hasn't been a program like that anywhere in Canada that I'm aware of. And in the meantime, people have been praying and hoping that the school could be restarted or something similar rise up in its place. Various groups had ideas about how the campus could be used, but nothing that met with the approval of NCEM. So the campus houses became rental properties in the meantime, waiting for the right proposal for what this former Bible school could become. Then a couple of years ago, we had one of our NCEM missionaries at the time, Peter Constant, step forward and take the initiative with NCEM's backing to start a new Bible school on the old KBI campus. The vision for Keewatin Discipleship Center was born. At that time, I was working as part of the finance team at the NCEM headquarters, which is in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. I was trying to be a bookkeeper, and I think I was doing okay. My efforts there were definitely appreciated. But for me, it was a way to serve the Lord when I wasn't sure where to go next in life. I had been a pastor, and I thought I might be a pastor again someday. While I was bookkeeping, I was also preaching in our local church and other churches in the area once or twice a month. For me, the ministry of the Word has been my focus and desire to preach and teach the Word of God. The Word of God has always been very important in my life. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, "How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Likewise, from my earliest days, I have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which made me wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. My parents were in ministry, and they were also ministers of the Word to their children at home. I was a good student in Sunday school and an eager memorizer of Scripture in Bible quizzing. I continued my biblical education at Nipawin Bible College. There I became convinced of my call to the ministry of the Word. I was a pastoral intern for the fourth year of my studies, and after graduating, I accepted a call to pastor a small country church in the Nipawin area. As a pastor, I definitely felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, but it was not easy. It was very challenging. After 3 years, I felt overwhelmed with everything, and I resigned. That began about 2 years of wandering in the wilderness, as it were. Unemployment, odd jobs, soul-searching, depression. That's what finally led to us joining NCEM. We were looking for something to do, and they needed help in the office, where I thought I could be of some help. So it wasn't any mountaintop type of experience where I heard a voice from heaven calling me to First Nations ministry. It was just my desperate need to be useful, meeting NCEM's desperate need for help at headquarters. But I do believe God's hand was in that, no less than if he had called from a burning bush. So while I was there in the office in Prince Albert in a serving ministry, I also, as I said, carried on a speaking ministry by preaching in local churches. Those are really the two broad categories of spiritual gifts, speaking and serving. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So there are these two categories, speaking and serving, and I was involved in both, but constantly evaluating whether I should focus more on one or the other, or just carry on as I was. In August of 2023, I was given the opportunity to share a 10-minute update on my ministry at NCEM's General Conference. I decided to basically preach a mini sermon from Acts chapter 6. I won't preach it now, but here's a brief summary. In the early church in Jerusalem, there was a wonderful spirit of giving and sharing, which led to a daily distribution of gifts to those who were in need. This whole charitable operation was overseen and administrated by the 12 apostles, but it got to be too much for them. And there were complaints about how things were being run. The apostles recognized that it was an important ministry, but not the ministry to which they had been called. So they asked the church to select 7 good men, spirit-filled men, to take over the work. I compared the ministry of the 7 to the ministry of NCEM's office and my work there at the time. It is valuable work, vital work, and we need people who are called to serve in those areas. This is how I presented my ministry to the mission family at that conference. But as I spent time studying and meditating on Acts chapter 6, I couldn't escape a feeling in my gut, a conviction in my spirit, that my primary calling was not with the 7, but with the 12. Not to serve tables, but to devote myself to the ministry of the word. So from that time, I started taking steps to move myself more into the ministry of the word. Now, it was at that same conference in 2023 that Peter Constant announced to the mission family that he was working on something new, Keewatin Discipleship Center. I didn't immediately try to jump on board. At first, I was looking more at opportunities to pastor a church. But after a few months, I realized what an amazing opportunity this could be if they would consider taking me on as a teacher at KDC. It had the potential to be a great fit. I could have a ministry focused on teaching the Bible, stay within NCEM, a mission I've grown to love, and to top it all off, I would be moving to a location where I already had family because my sister and her family live in Lac La Biche. Peter had also already dropped a few hints that maybe I should consider coming to serve at KDC. So I let him know of my interest, and eventually I was approved to come to KDC as a Bible teacher. So basically, throughout the year 2024, we were building our way toward coming to serve at KDC. Our plans were well underway, and then in October of 2024, Peter, the KDC director, suddenly resigned. That took us completely by surprise and was terribly disappointing. Peter and his wife Charlene were the driving force behind all that was happening to get KDC up and running. Without them, we would have to start again almost from scratch. So that's what we're doing. In December, we went ahead, our family, and moved to Lac La Biche onto the Bible school campus there. Now we are part of a committee that is looking for a new director for KDC. So where are things at with KDC? Well, we have an organizing committee. We have one staff member, that's me. It makes staff meetings very easy at this point. I have them frequently, just informal meetings. We have an old campus with facilities in a variety of conditions. We have a main building with classrooms, offices, and a gymnasium that doubles as an auditorium. That's all outdated in appearance and has some peeling paint, but it's not too far from being put back into service. We have a girls' dorm that is currently undergoing extensive renovations. We have a freshly renovated house with a beautiful lakefront view that is just waiting to house a new KDC director. We have other houses that are currently being rented out. We do not have a boys' dorm or a dining hall. Things to work on. When it comes to the program, we have a broad vision, but no details yet. As a committee, we are discussing the vision for the school and looking for a director who shares that vision and can help to move it forward. And we have the backing of the NCEM leadership who want to see this school started. Above all, we believe that God is in this, that he has a plan for KDC, and we look forward to seeing what he will accomplish. Given the setbacks that we've experienced and all that still needs to come together, we don't expect to be able to open this year. But we are hoping that we can open next year in fall of 2026. How can you be involved? You can help us by your prayers. I'm still learning the value of prayer. I think it's something God has been particularly impressing on me since we moved to Lac La Biche, just making verses about prayer really stand out. For example, in Paul's letter to Philemon, in verse 22, Paul, while a prisoner, instructs Philemon, "At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you." So Paul had the confidence to give instructions to Philemon based on the answer to prayers that hadn't been answered yet. While still a prisoner, he says, "Go ahead and prepare that guest room for me." He had the same confidence in God's answers to prayer as John, who wrote in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So I ask that you would please pray for our family and for Keewatin Discipleship Center. Ask the Father that he would clear the way for this school to open and make it a place for many students to grow into maturity in Christ. Ask that God would raise up a director for this work and guide our committee to find that person and bring him on board. Now, if you want to stay informed for the sake of your prayers, or even out of mere curiosity, I encourage you to sign up for our Sherwood family prayer letters and monthly email updates. We have a sign-up sheet for that on our table out there. At least I hope we set it out on the table. I printed them last night. We send a printed letter once or twice a year, which you can also get by email. And we send a shorter email-only update once a month. So you can sign up for either one or both by providing the relevant addresses on that sign-up sheet. I expect that KDC will have its own newsletter eventually, but for now, the best way I know to get KDC updates is from us in our Sherwood family updates. Also, go ahead and take one of our Sherwood family prayer cards. They look just like this. We have a stack of them on that table. And when you see our picture, and I think my kids are very cute, I'm sure you would agree, so you can enjoy looking at that picture and then remember to pray for us. Our prayer card also has some contact information on the back if you want to get in touch with us. You can give money. NCEM is what they call a faith-based mission, so as missionaries, our salary comes from individuals and churches who choose to support us. A full salary for us, the number set by NCEM, would be just over $7,000 a month. Right now, we're getting about half of that consistently. By the rules of NCEM, we need to be getting at least 80% support before we become official members and get the green light for full-time service. So while in theory I might be content to teach full-time on a 50% salary, I'm not actually going to be allowed to do that. And even though we've been with NCEM for 4 years already, we are still only missionary candidates rather than full-fledged missionaries because we haven't passed that 80% threshold. So we really are making a push now to raise our support so that by the time KDC is ready to open, I can be free to teach without concern for our finances. If you give to us, what does that money buy? Does it buy us groceries? Does it buy shoes for our kids? Does it pay for more popcorn kernels so my wife can have her favorite snack? Of course, we use money for these things, but what the donations really buy is time. Time spent in ministry instead of doing something else. God always provides one way or another, and I'll do what I need to do to provide for my family. Being supported like this means that I can devote myself to the ministry full time without needing to drop it and go do other work to earn a living wage. And that is something that happened to the Levites at various times in Israel's history. As in Nehemiah 13, verse 10, I also found out that the portions of the Levites had not been given to them, so that the Levites and the singers who did the work had fled, each to his field. The Levites were supposed to be able to live off the tithes of the people of Israel, so that they could devote themselves to the temple service. But when the tithes didn't come in, the Levites went out, each to his field, to provide for themselves. Now, I don't own a farm that I can go back to, but I have done other work when I've needed to, like a few months in the oil field that I do not wish to repeat. So the donations of our supporters keep me out of the oil field where I do not belong, and in the field of ministry to which God has called me. And that's why we're very thankful for everyone who gives to support our ministry. If the Lord does stir your heart to support us financially, I would again encourage you to take one of our prayer cards, and on the back it lists the website where you can find more information about giving, ncem.ca. /donate. And it also has the number for NCM's office if you would like to call and talk to one of our staff there. You can also give money for Keewatin Discipleship Center's general fund, which would go toward the various campus costs and the renovations. Again, ncem.ca/donate is the place to go to get more information, and you can even give by credit card or PayPal through the website while you're there. Maybe you would be interested in volunteering your trade skills to help with the renovations or something like that. In that case, you can get in contact with me and I can put you in contact with our property manager and see if he can put you to work. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary with NCEM at KDC or somewhere else. On our table, we have this little booklet, Exploring Mission, Your Guide to Serving and Partnering with NCEM. If you're at all interested, please go ahead and take one of those and read it and find out more. Sooner or later, Keewatin Discipleship Center will need students. So if someone is interested in becoming a student or knows someone who might be interested, what should they do? Well, unfortunately, it's too early to send in applications. We don't have an application form, but you can get in contact with us, let us know your interest, and sign up for our updates so that you can know when we are ready for students to apply. So, in summary, listen to what the Lord is telling you, how He might want you to respond to what I've shared today, and take stuff from our table. There's a bunch of free stuff there, promotional things and books and so on. So check it out and help yourself. We bring those things to give away, and if you empty our table, I don't know, our vehicle might be lighter, we might get better gas mileage on the way home. You'll really be helping us out. Okay, I want to share with you from the Word of God this morning. So I'll just shift gears quickly here. And in the time that remains, I would like to share with you briefly from Revelation chapter 5. The scene is set for Revelation 5 in Revelation chapter 4. For the sake of time, I won't read it now, but suffice it to say that in chapter 4, the Apostle John is taken up into heaven, into the very throne room of God. He sees the throne and the one seated on the throne. He sees 24 elders and four living creatures around the throne, worshiping him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy are you, our Lord and God. Now, in that context of worship around the throne of God, we see what happens next in Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to begin by reading the first four verses. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. I remember the first time I read Revelation. When I read these verses, I was thinking, John, why are you crying? What's so important about this scroll? Why is it so sad that no one is able to open the scroll? Well, as we read on in Revelation, we see that the opening of the scroll is what unleashes the judgments of God on a sinful world and ultimately leads to the new heaven and the new earth where God dwells with his people, with sin and death removed forever. The scroll with its seven seals is the backbone of the structure of the book of Revelation. Most of the book falls under four groups of seven. Just before this, in chapters 2 and 3, we have the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And then we have the scroll with its seven seals. And then the seventh seal starts a new set of seven, the seven trumpets. And then the seven trumpets lead into the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So all the action in the book of Revelation, everything that happens after chapter 5, is set off by the opening of this scroll. None of it happens unless the scroll is opened. The scroll is God's action plan to judge a wicked world and establish a perfect world in its place. And that's why it's so important that someone be able to open it. Without opening the scroll, the world would just continue as it is, broken, sinful, decaying, corrupt beyond measure. This is why John weeps loudly when it appears that no one is worthy to open the scroll. It says in verse 3, "And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it." Somehow a search was made in all creation. Who is worthy? There are mighty angels of God, awesome in appearance and power, many of which we see in the book of Revelation. Is any of them worthy to open the scroll? No, not one of them is worthy. There are holy and beloved saints of God, living on earth and in heaven, who have great favor with God. Is any of them worthy to open the scroll? No, not one of them is worthy. And so John weeps because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. But then, verse 5. Let's read now Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 to the end of the chapter. From verse 5. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Jesus, the Lamb, is worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. And why is he worthy? We might think that he is worthy because in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, because he is one with the Father, because he was in the beginning with God, and through him all things were made. But that's not what the text says. Look again at verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." His worthiness is not because of his divine nature, but because of his death on the cross for our sins. "For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." It's because of the cross and his blood shed for us. That's why Jesus is presented here as the Lamb who was slain, rather than any other picture of Jesus. The elder tells John in verse 5 to behold the Lion who has conquered, but when he looks, he sees the Lamb who was slain. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered sin and death by dying as a lamb for our sins. And it is his role as the Lamb of God, sacrificed for us, that makes him worthy to open the scroll, to bring about the end of this sinful world and the beginning of a new heaven and a new earth. We've just celebrated Easter. This is an Easter message. What Jesus accomplished on the cross doesn't end with our personal justification, the forgiveness of sins, as precious as that is. It goes farther than that. It also gives him the right to go on and restore all things. He who bore the wrath of God will pour out the wrath of God. Jesus bore the wrath of God for sinners who repent, and he will pour out the wrath of God on an unrepentant world. Then sin and death will be not only defeated, but destroyed forever. And the one who began our salvation on the cross outside the walls of Jerusalem will bring it to completion by bringing us into the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. So this is good news. This is the gospel. Let us accept it with thankful hearts and say with the angels, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. I'll step down. And I don't know if you're coming up or someone else. Thank you.